Welcome to our second sermon in our sermon series entitled, One Neighborhood at a Time. Jesus commands us to love our neighbor, to serve others with compassion, and meet the tangible needs of others. When we seek to practice those actions right where we are, we begin to change the world one neighborhood at a time. Today's sermon title, Compassion Toward Our Neighbor. Open your Bible to Luke 10, verses 29 through 37, and let's begin.
Desmond Doss was a skinny kid from Lynchburg, Virginia. And he had profound religious convictions. And one of them was that he was a conscientious objector. But he hated the tyranny that created World War II. And so he volunteered in the army to be a medic. Well, when he went through boot camp, they absolutely tortured the poor man. They called him a coward. They said they didn't want him. They were abusive to him in about as many ways as they legally could. There was a law that said, you could be a conscientious objector. And so in the end, they felt stuck with him. Doss told his captain, don't ever doubt my courage because I'll be right by your side saving lives while you take them. Captain Glover said, you're not going to be beside me if you don't have a gun. And this all went on until his unit was sent to Okinawa, where vicious, vicious fighting was happening. And there was a place called Hacksaw Ridge, where the Army and the Marines were on the lower part and the Japanese were on the upper part. And vicious fighting took place there. And during that vicious fighting, the man that everybody abused saved 75 lives. The only Congressional Medal of Honor winner who was a conscientious objector. In fact, he saved the lives of some of the very guys who had tortured him, abused him, insulted him. And there he was in the middle of this vicious fighting, crawling around without a gun, saving lives. This isn't about being a conscientious objector. It's about the idea that you can live out your faith to love your neighbor even on a battlefield, church. And if Doss can do it on a battlefield, I think we ought to be able to do it in our day-to-day lives. If Doss could save the lives of people who had literally abused him, I believe we can think more consistently about being a good Samaritan to people whose lives are broken and failing. So last week, Jesus ran into a lawyer who felt pretty superior. And he wanted to test Jesus. And so he said to Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit the life of the ages? And Jesus said, you're a lawyer. How do you read the law? And the lawyer said, love God and love your neighbor. And Jesus said, that's exactly right. You go and do that and you will live a good life. But something about that exchange stimulated the lawyer's insecurity, and he felt a need to justify himself. And so he said to Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And Jesus said, "I'm glad you ask." There was a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Jesus began to tell a story about real life, about a man who was mugged and beaten so badly that he couldn't drag himself forward, and all he could do was lay beside the road. This man represents people you run into every day. They've been beaten down by life. They've been robbed of hope, stripped of well-being, beaten by sickness and poverty, and left by people they trusted. I wonder, have you lost your ability to see people like this in your life? I wonder if the way we look at life makes these beaten down people invisible to us. And if we can serve them, I wonder if there's anything in your heart right now that compels you to do that. We are a church that has a track record of caring about people in need. We have a history of doing that. Every year we do serve days. And this is where we get together as a congregation and we go and serve some communities where people need help. Now, our church falls into three categories on Serve Day. Some people have been and they know how rich and meaningful it is and they can't wait to go. Then we have some people, if Jesus Christ showed up at their door and asked them to go to Serve Day with him, they would say no. And then we have a bunch of people in the middle. So if you're in the middle, I'm talking to you right now. Do you want to live out the Good Samaritan principle and not have to do it all by yourself? Sign up for Serve Day. Sign up, join a group of people, and together we'll go do the work of a Good Samaritan. And you can look in the bulletin on how to sign up. I'd like to talk a minute about people who develop a religion that allows them to easily overlook those who are beaten down. So in Christ's story, this man, life beat him down, and he's laying there, and he can't help himself. But as he lay there, he heard the crunching of feet on the pathway. And he had a flicker of hope, and he said, "Someone's coming. They might help me." And he looked through his swollen eye, and he saw a priest that was going down the road. And the priest saw him. But somehow or another, he was practicing a religion that made it just fine for him to go on the opposite side of the road and pass the broken man by. In Christ's story, he said, it's not uncommon for people to call themselves religious, but pass by the broken people in their life. Just pass them by. Church, I wonder, what does your religion look like? When it comes to broken people, have you rationalized it all away? It's not my problem. That's what welfare is for. It's not my problem. I moved out of the city to get away from all of that. It's not my problem, because what can I do anyway? Do you see? Can you hear me? I'm asking us to rethink what it really means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And this parable says, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ and you see a problem or a need, God let you see that for a reason. You get this? I'm not going to see every problem in the world, but I am going to see some problems. And the ones I see because God says, I want you to partner with me in doing something about this. Church? And oh, how the man's heart must have sunk within him when through his swollen eye, he saw the religious person get smaller and smaller as they walked away. I don't know. Maybe he passed out. Maybe he got a little relief. But pretty soon he heard footsteps again. And he looked up one more time. Now it wasn't just a religious person. It was a Levite, a religious leader. These guys embodied what the Holy Temple was all about. They were the ones who offered sacrifices. They were the ones who were at the pinnacle of spiritual leadership in Christ's world. And this man must have thought, surely the religious leader will help me. Surely the religious leader will help me. But Jesus said, when the Levite saw him, he passed by on the other side of the road. I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he told himself, I've got something much more important than helping this loser. I got important things to do. Church? Maybe he said to himself, this guy is unclean, and I can't be around unclean people. It's below my standards. I don't know what he told himself, but he told himself something that allowed him to walk by the broken man that he saw. I wonder why it is that as religious leaders, we're not on the cutting edge of meeting the needs of broken communities. Church? What have we said to ourselves that's so important? Could I remind you that Jesus set an example that he went around and helped people? He was never too busy for the corrupt leper that he could reach out and touch him and heal him. He was never too busy for the sinner that he couldn't spend time with them and give them hope. He was never too busy to teach the gospel to the poor. He was never too busy to feed the hungry. He was never too busy to go to the next needy place and do the work that God sent him to do. Church? And that's the model that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us. I want you to know that being compassionate to broken people costs time, effort, and money. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where the broken man was, and he saw him and had compassion and went to him and bound up his wounds and poured on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." He was the one that people least expected would help. Everybody expected the religious person to help, and they didn't. Everybody expected the religious leader to help, and they didn't. Nobody expected the Samaritan to help, and he did. A broken dream, a broken heart, isolated and afraid. Open up. This is a raid. I want to get through to you. You're not alone. Church, people need to hear that. An open hand, an open heart. There's no need to be afraid. Open up. This is a raid. I want to get through to you. You're not alone. I can hear the Good Samaritan whisper that to the broken man beside the road. Do you have that in your heart for someone else? Do you have it in your heart to have an open hand, an open heart, to meet someone where they are afraid and say, "I have good news for you. Christ loves you more than you know, and that's why I'm here." Church? So if you want to be a good Samaritan, this is what it looks like. First of all, nobody picked him to be the Good Samaritan. Church? Maybe you're not on the top of anybody's list. Maybe people don't look at you and go, "This is the kind of person who's going to really come through." But I'm telling you, there is somebody who looks at you like that, and he's your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He picked you. He said, "I have a plan to help the broken people of the world," and you're it. Church, I don't have to be picked by the evening news. I don't have to be picked by a political organization. I don't have to be picked by a religious denomination. I've been picked by somebody greater than all of those. And he is the great king of all good Samaritans. And he says, "Follow me, and we will fix broken lives." 2, the good Samaritan saw the man in need. He saw it. What if you began to pray, "Dear God, open my eyes to see the needs you want me to partner with you in fixing"? What if you prayed that? Just open my eyes to the people around me that you want me to partner with you and help. The Good Samaritan felt compassion. Now, we have to be honest with ourselves. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. Almost nobody feels compassion for everything. Compassion is a comparative thing. We have people in this church who have awesome compassion for people who are struggling with addictions. I tell you what I have compassion for. I have compassion for children in America who, through no fault of their own, live in a living nightmare. Church, a nightmare. Every day, their young, undeveloped hearts and minds are bombarded with insanity. And many of them, the only meals they get are the ones they eat at school or the ones they eat at the rec center during the summer. Or somebody's mom invites them over. Church, I can see that need. And it's ridiculous in America that it happens. It's ridiculous. Church. Four. The Good Samaritan went to the man where he was broken. He didn't say to the man, I'll meet you at the inn. I'll get a doctor. He'll patch you up. I'll take you out for supper. Just meet me there. He didn't do that. He went to the side of the road where the broken man was laying, and he said, I'm here to help you. If we're going to be good Samaritans, we got to get outside the walls of the church. Some people are too broken to drag themselves in here. Some people are too disappointed to drag themselves in here. Some people don't even feel welcome here because of their past church experiences. And if we're going to be good Samaritans, we're going to have to create time and space in our life to go out to where the broken people are and give them something they can't get from anybody else than a lover and a follower of Jesus Christ. The Good Samaritan met his neighbor's need. Listen to what he did. He saw he was wounded. These muggers probably stabbed him. And so he went to his backpack and he found whatever he had and bound up the wounds. He was afraid they would get infected, so he poured some wine on them, disinfectant. Hope he gave the guy a little drink of it too. Never hurts to have a couple of gulps of wine when you're in pain. And then he said, if these wounds harden, they won't heal right. And he went into his backpack and got oil and poured the oil on the wounds to keep them soft so they would heal right. Church, do you see this? He said, this is the need. I'm here. I'm going to do what I can do to meet this need right now. Church, do you have any of that in your heart? Does following Jesus Christ compel you to do something like this in the world around you? How about this? The Good Samaritan walked so his broken neighbor could ride. There was only one horse. There was only one mule. I don't know what it was. There was one animal. And the Good Samaritan put the broken man on the horse and let him ride, and the Good Samaritan walked the rest of the way to Jericho. Church, I'm tired of hearing there's no such thing as a free ride. Some people have to have a free ride or they're not going to make it. Church, there's been times in your life when you needed a free ride or you wouldn't have made it. I love that Footprints in the Sand. Have you read it? A man saw his life and it looked like footprints in the sand. And there were times there were two pair of footprints and there were times of one. And the man said to Christ, why did you leave me and I walked alone? Christ said to him, dude, I didn't leave you. I was picking you up and carrying you. Those one set of footprints are mine, not yours. I am the first to admit there have been times in my life where Christ carried me. I had nothing to offer him, and he offered me everything. Church? The Good Samaritan checked his neighbor into his hotel. He didn't say, you know, I stay at the Hilton by the airport, but I'm checking you into a dirty floor hotel down in the bad neighborhood. Church? You know those floors that are so dirty you wipe your feet off when you get in a parking lot? He didn't check him into one of those hotels, church. You know what he said? The way I would want to be treated, I'm going to treat this broken person that way. Church, that's the spirit of the Good Samaritan. Not what can I get away with, but what is right. And then the Good Samaritan said to the innkeeper, I want you to take care of this guy until he can get up and on his feet. I'm going to give you 2 denarii right now. That a denarii is a day's work. So you work out your own math. Whatever you make in 2 days, that's what the guy took out of his pocket and gave to the innkeeper. And then he said to him, I'm going to come back through here, and if it costs more to get him up on his feet, I'll pay you when I come through. Church, it isn't cheap to be a good Samaritan. If you're going to be a good Samaritan, it's going to cost you something. But shall I tell you, the one you do it for will reward you richly. I read a proverb this week, and it struck me so powerfully that I memorized it. Listen at this proverb. It comes from the Bible, the book of Proverbs. The man who despises his neighbor is a sinner. But blessed is the man who is generous to the poor. Did you hear this? When you look at these needy people and you see them in need and you despise them, you say, look how dirty they are. Look what a mess their life is. Look what bad choices they've made. Look what losers they are. When you look at your neighbor and despise them, God says it's sin. And when I read that, I felt an instant need to say to Christ, I'm sorry, I've done that. I've done that. I've seen them on the streets in Cleveland. Broken, dirty, lonely, troubled people. And I've thought wicked thoughts about them. And and when I read that proverb, it went through me like a spear. Church. But then God says in that proverb, blessed is the person who is generous to the poor. I want that blessing, church. I want my soul to change. I don't want to judge the broken. I want the blessing that God has for people who are generous to the poor. I want the blessing that only good Samaritans get. Do you? And then Jesus was never content without really pressing the issue. So he looked at the lawyer after he told this story. He looked straight at him. And he asked the lawyer a question. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? And the lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Christ is asking every one of us in this room, who fulfilled God's commandment to love his neighbor? The religious person because they were religious? The religious leader because they were a religious leader? Or the Samaritan because he stopped and met the man's need? Church. This allows every one of us to decide, am I obeying the command to love my neighbor? Can you look at times in your life? Can you find examples in your life where you saw a need and you did something to help it? I want to brag on this church for a minute. Last Christmas, I talked to you about we could help a family be bridged out of poverty. The Good Samaritans in this church gave $56,000 for that house project. Next week, I'm going to show you a video. We're real close to getting a house. Hopefully, by fall, this mother and her five kids will be in this new house. The kids will be in a new school because Good Samaritans met this family in their need and is literally going to radically change their lives. The mom was homeless, living in an abandoned building with five kids in a terrible neighborhood where the kids couldn't possibly learn anything at school. Church? And Good Samaritans met that need. We take the prime the pump offering. It's primarily for our benevolence offering. We ask you this year for $90,000. So far, $93,000 has come in. And if some of you who are blessed with wealth could give a little more, we're going to add another school. Because we got a little more than we thought. If we can get a little more, we're going to add another school. There's going to be another 40 kids all next year who go home with food for the weekend because Good Samaritans in this church cared enough to provide it. Church. I'm proud to go to a church like this. I'm honored. I am honored to be a pastor of a church where people take Christ's teaching seriously. I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to be out of your comfort zone. But sometimes being a good Samaritan requires us to be out of a comfort zone. Would you watch this video with me?
There are over 2,900 homeless school children in the Cleveland Metropolitan School District. Most of these kids and their families are completely invisible to us, the city of Cleveland. But you know what? It's time to do something. And who better than the body of Christ in Cleveland to engage? The city mission is reaching out to you, the body of Christ, and asking you to stand with us to do two things: call attention to this tragedy in our city and to engage and help us do something about this tremendous need. On June 29th, we are hosting an event, The Stand-In, on Public Square. 3,000 people representing the 3,000 homeless children in our school district. But not just to see, but to stand there as a visible representation of the crisis in our city. And we're hoping not just to draw awareness, but actually to encourage people to take action, to step out, to engage, and to do what they can to alleviate this unbelievable crisis in our city. To learn more and to register today, please go to our website, thecitymission.org. I hope to see you there.
We have a pamphlet. I hope you got it. It looks like this. Rich is a friend of mine. I'm asking you to put this date on your calendar and join us down at Public Square. Our band is going to do the music that night. It's on a Saturday night. I believe in this so much, we're not going to have Saturday night service. Do you hear me? We're not going to go break windows or start fires. We're going to go stand on Public Square, and we're going to say, we want something done about the 3,000 kids who live in Cleveland and are homeless. Church, how do you expect a homeless child to learn anything at school? How do you expect a child who's living in an abandoned building and shivering all night long to go to school the next day and somehow or another perform? Church, how do we expect children who live in the terror of not knowing where they're going to sleep the next night? These are the broken man beside the road. They can't help themselves. I'm sorry their parents are broken. I'm sorry their dads are long gone. But that doesn't change the fact that the kids are broken and laying by the road. And we are God's good Samaritans. And we have to be part of the solution. I'm asking you to go. You say, Doc, I just don't do stuff like that. Well, maybe now is the time to start. Church, maybe this would be a good moment for you to move out of your comfort zone. Go down to the square with us. Stand there. There's a whole program planned. Paul and the band are going to be doing great music that night. And we're going to say to everyone who will look, we believe something should be done, and we're going to partner with whoever will partner with us, and we're going to make a difference in this catastrophic problem. Church, if they want to argue and argue and argue in Washington, let them argue. We will solve the problem right here. If they want to avoid the issues and play petty political games, let them avoid the issues and play political games. We will be the people of God. We will be the good Samaritan, and we'll solve the problem right here. Now, I'm asking you, will you be a good Samaritan and participate in this? You hear that little voice. It's saying, walk by on the other side of the road. Doc's asking a little too much this time. Walk by on the other side of the road. You're a good person. It will be all right. Staff, elders, deacons, you hear that voice. You're a religious leader. But you hear that voice. It says, this isn't my problem. I'm just gonna pass by on this one. Am I right? Church? But there is a Holy Spirit, and I feel him moving on hearts this morning. And some of you feel it in your heart. I gotta go. I gotta be part. This time I can't pass by on the other side of the road. This time I'm stopping. This time I'm taking the need personally. This time I'm engaging. Church? If Doss could save 75 wounded men under fire because he believed in the principle of the Good Samaritan, how many souls might we save with the blessings of Christ upon us? Doss says, when he was interviewed, what kept you going? Why 75? He said, I just kept praying, one more, Lord, one more. And he drug himself back into the nightmare, found one more, drug him back, let him down, and prayed again, one more, Lord, one more. Until 75 wounded and broken men were pulled off that battlefield. Church, could we have a prayer in our heart as Good Samaritans? One more, Lord. One more child. One more rescued child. One more rescued family. One more rescued soul. God help us. Our dear Heavenly Father, the teachings of Jesus Christ disrupt my comfort zone. The teachings of Jesus Christ, they don't come at us as laws and rules. They come at a much higher level. They come at us at the deepest level of our humanity. And Christ simply says to us, would you be the human beings I created you to be? And I feel the power of that. And I pray for us as a church. I plead with you for us as a church. I thank you for all the Good Samaritans that are here. And I thank you for the wonderful things you've done through this church. But Father, I pray to you the Doss prayer. One more, Lord. One more. One more kid, one more family, one more school, one more broken life. And I pray that you would answer our prayers by making us the Good Samaritan one more time. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.